Okay, Shalom Abayisa. We are in Chavis Halvavis Shar HaTshuva Perek Hey toward the end. We're discussing now applications of the last of the four basic requirements of tshuva, right? Which one? Resolving not to do the Avera again. And we are in the third one, the third application of what this resolution should look like. So yesterday we basically saw that this was about contemplating things that will keep you on track. If I were to translate it in a practical, concise way, we would say it's basically about learning Musar, right? Keeping yourself aware of, keeping your awareness alive. So that's why number one was about considering, is it really worthwhile to do the Avera? Considering the, right, the benefit of the Avera versus the loss, etc. Number two was keeping conscious of the day when we pass on to the next stage, the day of death. And now number three, Ashlishi. Number three is Sheiten Alibay Hayomim Ashanota Bohem Yachari Elikov. Is another point of contemplation in order to keep yourself on track, but from another angle, a different angle. If you think about the period of time that you were off the path, where you were not following Hashem in this specific regard, we're not conscientiously doing what He expected of you. Even though He was constantly showering you with good. So that's another point to be contemplating in order to keep yourself on track. Do I want to go back to that state of ingratitude, of defying Hashem, of spiting Hashem, even while He's doing so much for me? So that's another point to contemplate in order to keep ourselves on track. Haradi. Number four is this is interesting. He says that a person should constantly be supplicating, constantly davening Tashem intensely, to atone for his sins and to forgive him, and to accept your tshuva. So this is interesting. He's talking about davening and pleading for forgiveness on a regular basis. Now, we could hear that that would be a function of charata. He actually said that that's a function of charata, right? The first of the requirements was charata. Now we're talking about the requirement of resolving never to do the avera again. You could hear that constantly davening and pleading for forgiveness is a function of charata. It's a function of asking for mechila. Why is it a function of resolving never to do the avera again? I just understand it simply that it's a way of keeping yourself aware. That's really what it is. It's really the same thing that we said earlier, that a person should be davening constantly for forgiveness to have his tshuva accepted. We said earlier that that's a function of charata. It's a function of bakosha samechila. But now he's saying, as a means to keep yourself, it's the same thing we said earlier, but if you're going to now make it a regular program of davening for forgiveness, that itself will keep you on a track of awareness. First of all, I have a hard time forgetting if he's constantly davening for that forgiveness. Vachamishi.
Over and over again. Why is it like Miriam also, she doesn't have to do more than seven days.
Samir is asking, why do we have to keep on davening and asking for forgiveness? Even in other Machaveri, we find that you try three times and that's all. I'll take the question a step further. Your question is even a step further. Because even by Benodom Lachaveroi, if the person refuses to forgive, then you have to, if he forgives you the first time, you don't have to keep asking, right? With Hashem, presumably, as soon as you went about the steps that you need to take in a serious, conscientious way, you're forgiven. So here it's even more than that, right? We're saying, person came, truly regretted it, truly expressed it, And yet we're saying, continue to beg for forgiveness. When you're forgiven already in the first place, isn't that what tshuva is?
No, so,
so we have to remember, what we've stressed a few times, that the Chavis HaVav is here, is mamash on a similar track to Rabbeinu Yonah in terms of describing tshuva beyond the basic level of getting off the hook, right? Tshuva, these Rishonim are making tshuva into something much more than getting off the hook, something much more than forgiveness in the basic sense of avoiding the punishment. They're turning it into a much more far-reaching program with a number of layers of understanding. First of all, as we've been saying, tshuva is a mitzvah. Besides tshuva as a means of getting yourself back on track, as a means of earning achievement, it's a mitzvah. It's a mitzvah like any other mitzvah. It's one of the tayag, right? And therefore, a mitzvah can be done at a basic level. A mitzvah can be done behidur. And Rabbi Yonah and the Chavis HaVav are teaching us that when it comes to the mitzvah of tshuva, you can be yoytze in a basic way with much less. That's the lashon of Rabbi Yonah. It's called tshuva timotze slicha. Any level of tshuva will earn you slicha. Meaning, in order to make the grade of tshuva, you have to have the basic requirements in place. Charata, vidui, aziva sachet. You have to have the basic requirements in place. But that earns you slicha. But then it goes on in terms of the hider of the tshuva. You're doing the, just one second. You're in doing this mitzvah, I'll get to you, but in doing this mitzvah, you can do it in a much more mohuda way than just being yoytz. That's one layer of the answer to this question. What are you saying?
I'm saying that the hider mitzvah doesn't help you in the future. What does help you is the davening, which reminds you where you ended up, and it's a constant reminder. It's like musr, just do it over and over and over, and it gets into the...
So that's right. Here, when we're talking about davening as a function of not doing the Aveira again, obviously the purpose of the davening is more for you to be reminding yourself. But I think that Rav Nir's question is more addressed at the constant davening as a function of asking for mechira, right? We saw it earlier as, right, there are the four requirements. Four requirements. There's charata, there's asking for mechila, there's stopping to do the aveira, and then there's continuing not to do the aveira. So we saw, like we said, this is kind of a repetition. He's telling you to keep, to daven, see incessantly as a function of never doing the Aveira again. And here, it's definitely like you're saying, it's a means of reminding yourself. But he also said that you should be davening incessantly as a function of charata and as a function of bakosha samachila. The davening kept on coming in as a function of all the various aspects of tshuva. So here is where the question is relevant. Certainly when we're talking about abandoning the Aveira and not doing it again, the davening is simply serving a function of a reminder. But why do we need to keep on davening in terms of Bakosha Smechila? That's the question. So this, what's that?
I want to say because we know we can't do it without God's help. And it's a reminder, not just that you did the Aveira, but you can't do it without a Kaddish Baruch Hu's help. You can try as hard as you want.
But when you're talking with regard to not doing the Aveira again, or you're talking with regard to asking for Mechila?
I'm talking about the Aveira again.
Oh, so that we said, that's true. Okay. But we're coming back to the question of why do you need it in terms of asking for Mechila to keep davening incessantly? So here's where we're coming to that point. That first of all, I mean, the way we might put it is that the first layer of it is that it is hider in the mitzvah of tshuva. It's hider in the mitzvah of tshuva. And hider in the mitzvah of tshuva is something extreme. David HaMelech turned his Hidur in the Mitzvah of Tshuva into a lifetime project. Now, but it goes a step further. I mean, it's really the same point, but going a step further. Like we said before, there's getting Mechila. But then we want to, in terms of my dynamic with Hashem, the Tshuva can get you to a much higher place than you were on originally. And in terms of my dynamic with Hashem, I want to constantly be showing Him how I am mortified about what happened. It's not like, oh, Hashem, you forgave me? That's it. Now we're best of friends. I show my reverence for Hashem by continuing to feel contrite, by continuing to feel mortified, is a tall order, right? To still be feeling that way. It might be that for us on our level, Dayenu, if we can really appreciate that you're beginning Matzah Yom Kippur with a completely clean slate. But this is the standard that Rabbi Yehuda and the Chavos of Avos are putting down, that a person moves through, and this is, which is really based on the model that David HaMelech provided, that he moves through life feeling that mortification, and that actually turns into a standing dynamic between him and Hashem. Hashem, I'm overwhelmed by the fact that you're giving me another chance, and I constantly feel the need to justify it. I don't know if we could live with that. But this is, let's understand the concept. Let's understand the concept. We've discussed also, we give the mashal of Inshallah Mayis, right? When a person understands that they really wronged their spouse, and afterwards, they don't just apologize, but they're working afterwards to show how much they want to make it up to them. Okay.
I ask for forgiveness from another person, the person forgives you.
How do you know if Hashem forgave you? So that, we have Hashem's guarantee. Hashem said, if you go about it, what's that? Hashem says, yeah, if you go about it sincerely, I will forgive you. Yet we continue to ask because we continue to say, I want to be in even better graces with you, etc.
He wants to use it as a fulcrum, as a push to get to the higher level. Now, Duvid, the way you describe it, Duvid HaMelech used it as an energy provider.
That's right. That's right. Is that too? That's right.
Which means the person himself is using it for himself so he can get to
okay.
high level.
Yeah.
And it's not really just to show Hashem, it's to show himself.
One is the contradiction to the other. That's right. We're saying there are a number of different aspects here. Okay. Machamishi. What's number five? The fifth application of resolving not to do the Aveira again. Sheyitein. Wait, I'm sorry. And I confused the order here. Aravi Sheyashiv el Hagzelois, Vimona, Minha Averis, Vierif Mehazokas, Mehazokas Kolabun. Part of never doing the Aveira again is making sure that you are rectifying, correcting all the damage that you may have done. It's not just enough to say, okay, I'm not going to steal anymore. I'm not going to hurt anybody anymore. You have to now go and fix things up to whatever extent you can to compensate the people. The Yilef Me'azogas Kol Amuim. And now you take extra pains to keep from harming anybody. Lachamishi. And number five is Sheiten Eliber Dulas Haboyre Yisale Asher Himra Devaroi V'yotza Mikesha Avagos. Number five is that you should contemplate. Before we talked about contemplating how you are spiting Hashem while he's showering you with good. Now we're talking about, without even coming out to the showering you with good, it's really just so many different dynamics of the revolving around the same point, to be contemplating Hashem's greatness, to be contemplating the immensity of Hashem and how overwhelming it is to be dealing with him bichlal, and then to think of how unthinkable it is, unfathomable, unconscionable, that I should have spited him and that I should have thrown off the yoke of his avodah. And hit yourself over the head with that. Hit yourself over the head with that, once again, as a function of Kabbalah la'asi, as a function of resolving never to do it again. Really coming back to the same point, l'chayra, of using musr as a means of banging yourself into the place that you want to be. Okay, stop here for tonight.
As long as it doesn't harm the person, an obsessive compulsive.
Yes, we
covered that.
Yeah.